The Journal is your daily deep dive into the biggest stories in money, business, and power. For a wider look at today's news, The Wall Street Journal's got you covered. Our What's News podcast. It's concise, comprehensive, with context and analysis. Twice a day, on the go. It's the news that shapes your world, so you can take on the world. Subscribe to What's News from The Wall Street Journal, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, June 12th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. When Google releases a new version of its operating system, it usually does so at an annual developers conference. But this year, with the pandemic putting big in-person gatherings on hold, there wasn't quite so much fanfare. We speak to our columnist Dan Gallagher about what product launches look like these days and how that could impact the tech industry as a whole. That's coming up after these headlines. DoorDash is close to securing new funding. We report exclusively that the food delivery company is planning to sell hundreds of millions of dollars of equity to one of its existing backers, T. Rowe Price Group, and others. The deal is yet to be finalized, but it comes as several other industry players are exploring deals as a way to shore up finances. The European Union is planning to file antitrust charges against Amazon as early as next week. According to people familiar with the matter, regulators in the EU are targeting Amazon's treatment of third-party sellers. We've talked about this before. Our reporter Valentina Pope has more.
So this is a probe that has been going on for about 2 years now, and it's moving into a next phase, a more formal phase. The European Union's main antitrust body, the European Commission, is looking at how Amazon was using data from vendors on its platform to sort of undermine them, allegedly. So it was using the data to see which products sell well and then bring their own products exactly along the same lines. So this is actually the subject of a Wall Street Journal investigation that our colleague Dana Mattioli has done in April, and that was about U.S. vendors and U.S. products. But officials here in Brussels say that it's pretty much the same phenomenon that has happened also in Europe, and this is what the probe is about.
For its part, Amazon has said publicly and before Congress that these practices violate its policies and that they've launched an internal investigation into the reports. Chris Cox is returning to Facebook. Cox was one of Facebook's earliest engineers. He resigned last year over disagreements with CEO Mark Zuckerberg over Facebook's direction. But after a break to spend some time with his family, support political candidates, and play with this reggae band, Cox said in a Facebook post that he felt called to return to the social network. He said he'd be back in his old position as head of product. And we've been reporting on how tech companies have been responding to the killing of George Floyd and actions they're taking to address inequities. The latest? Apple announced on Thursday that it would devote $100 million to a racial justice initiative. It will invest in education, economic equality, and criminal justice reform. And Microsoft said it wouldn't sell facial recognition technology to U.S. police, echoing Amazon and IBM, both of which announced similar measures in recent days. Microsoft called for clear national regulations over concerns about the technology's racial bias. By the way, we know a lot of our listeners work in tech, and we want to hear about how all these tech companies' recent policy changes are impacting you, the employees. So let us know. How is your company addressing these protests? Are they holding town halls or making changes to diversity, equity, and inclusion policies? You can call the number in the description that we've left below and tell us your stories. And we may include them on the show. Okay, up next, what's a developer conference look like without all the developers in one place? We talk to our Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher after the break.
The COVID pandemic has cast a spotlight on inequality and places an urgent demand on employers to lead responsibly and with compassion. Time's Up is here to help leaders respond to the crisis and build on the progress made toward diversity, equity, and inclusion. Time's Up invites you to download their new employer guide, offering practical steps to care for your people, equalize your workplace, and lead with purpose. Text CRISIS to 306-44 to download the guide. Message and data rates apply. Text STOP to opt out.
When tech companies launch new products and features, it's all about the show. We're talking about Apple founder Steve Jobs in a turtleneck or someone demoing a VR headset on stage. It's usually a leader or leaders selling you their vision of what the future looks like, which means they're going to go big. These launches usually take place at big developer conferences, but the pandemic has made those kinds of gatherings all but impossible. So how are these tech companies adapting? And could the loss of these huge events have a broader impact on their businesses? Our Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher has some thoughts on this, and he joins us now. Dan, thanks so much for being here.
Good to be here.
So Google is the latest company to launch some new tech. It released the latest iteration of its mobile operating system earlier this week. What did that rollout look like?
It looked like essentially a blog post, because that's all it was. I mean, this is something every summer they hold a conference called I.O., which is their big developers conference, you know, usually brings like more than 5,000 people to lately. They've been doing it at their headquarters in Silicon Valley. And this is where they kind of show off what that year's Android is going to look like, the new features. Sometimes there's new devices. What their plan this year had been, obviously that conference was canceled like everything else because of the pandemic. They were going to do a virtual event, and they were going to do that last week. But then they called that off last week because of all the social unrest going. They didn't feel it was appropriate. So, you know, they didn't say if they were going to reschedule it. And what happened was all of a sudden Wednesday, they just simply announced, hey, it's out. Android 11. Here you go.
The press release feels like it's back to the old days.
Yeah, it was interesting and funny. I mean, I thought they would try to do at least a little bit of something with it. You know, it is a developer focused thing. It's kind of technical in nature. You know, the whole point of doing this is to get developers to write new applications for the new features they add. So it wasn't like having a shiny new device to say, hey, everybody come and buy this. But they still like to get, you know, all companies like to get as much attention for what they're doing as they can. And Android powers 85% of the smartphones in the world. So it's a big deal. And so it was interesting to see them almost bend over backwards to not make a big deal of it.
Google's not the only one that's moved their show online. Basically, everyone in tech has done that. This year's developer conferences have been canceled or they've been virtual, as you described. Do we have any kind of indication? You said this is a big moment for them to get developers interested in writing apps for their products for the Android phone. Is there any kind of indication of what kind of a loss it means for them?
We don't know yet because we haven't seen any company really try it in a really big way. So Facebook usually has a developers conference that was totally canceled. Google did cancel theirs. Apple is going to be the first one to really legitimately try to have a virtual event that replaces a physical event. And that will happen week after next, their worldwide developers conference. And it's Apple, so they often get a lot of attention. It's, you know, people like to pay attention to what they're doing. There's one rumor that they're designing their own chips now for the Mac. Those are usually Intel chips. So there might be some interesting news out of it, but I think that will become maybe the first major tech case of whether these kind of virtual conferences that don't have these cheering crowds can really pack the same kind of buzz.
Do the developers get anything out of it besides just kind of getting the first insight into what's coming?
I think developers, no matter how it's presented, you know, they make use of the information because this is what they do. If you're a developer that writes for iOS, you're clearly going to pay attention to what the new features for iOS are going to have every year, no matter what format it comes. What these conferences serve to do is they were kind of almost like a junket. They got people out to California. They got people cheering and excited. It was like there was a bit of a party atmosphere always to them, because if you're a developer that works in, you know, maybe Alaska or Kansas or somewhere way out of Silicon Valley, and you come and you can congregate with other developers and had that kind of chemistry to it, that's the part that's, I think, really hard to replicate online. It's one thing to have an online announcement or a video of a CEO saying, hey, here's our new device or new software. But it's a whole other thing to kind of replicate the rest of that energy that happens when people come together. So I got a feeling that when you factor all that in, you know, these virtual events just simply won't measure up to what they're used to. Clearly, they're the only option, especially when the government says you can't have these big events. But I do think there'll be something lost.
Well, and I think, you know, we've been looking at a lot of things that have happened during the pandemic and wondering what's going to stick. And the point that you made about the benefit that somebody has as a developer to come to these, it's not just about the information. It's also about the community.
Yeah, it brings people together in a very big way, you know, and if you're especially, I think when we see some of the fall conferences from companies like Salesforce and Oracle, you know, those are ones that don't maybe get the same kind of consumer interest because consumers don't usually use that software, but they are big sales events because they're bringing in clients, companies that spend billions of dollars on them to, you know, wine and dine and party in that atmosphere. That, too, I think is going to be a very hard thing to kind of to replicate. And we already know those conferences have been canceled.
Our columnist, Dan Gallagher, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. If you like this podcast, please do take a moment to rate and review us in Apple Podcasts. It really does help. And if you want more news about this and the rest of the Wall Street Journal's podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. Tech News Briefing is produced by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.